I'm reading the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. I want to give attention tonight to the first two verses, verse 13 and 14. But I'm going to make reference to some of the other verses in the 7th chapter. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, there are some people who don't believe in hell. You'd have to argue with Jesus in this particular verse. Jesus was no ignorant person. He is the essence of wisdom and knowledge and all truth. He is truth. He says, I am truth. And Jesus says that there's a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Now, these two verses contradict most human philosophy. Most of us would like to think that the majority of our world is on the road to hell. I even heard a preacher recently preach that we can win the world to Christ. Well, I don't agree with that because it won't hold water scripturally, because the Bible teaches that we can preach and witness to the world, but the Bible clearly teaches that the majority of the world never will be saved. And they never will be. And Jesus says there are few that find it. Many go into the way of destruction and walk that way, but the way to life is straight and narrow, and there are few that find it. And my friend, there are few that find it. It's the greatest discovery you'll ever make when you discover the way of life. And you're going to find, if you ever do find the way of life, that it's not a plan, but it is a man. It's a person. It's not something that you do, but it's someone you know. And that someone is Jesus Christ. And salvation is not an ethic, it's not a principle, it's a person. It's not a series of do's and don'ts. It is literally a spiritual rebirth or new birth. And we have a lot of talk today about born again, and many people who talk about it know nothing about it. Because the born again life brings about a spiritual transformation that literally causes an individual to become an adopted son or daughter of God. You become God's child. And I don't know how many of you here tonight have ever come to know this life, but according to Scripture, there are few that have. And I don't want to be critical. I don't want to level criticism at you. But if the truth were known tonight, many of you here in this stadium have never really come to know this way of life. Now, you know a religious way of life, and there's so many cheap substitutes for the way of life. Satan is quick to offer you a substitute for life. And I can assure you that although religion is popular today, it is as useless as it ever has been in history. We have what I refer to in modern times as bread and fish religion. Now, bread and fish religion is a bunch of folks running around all the time looking for something that'll make them feel better and that'll make them fuller and try to make them happier for now, just like the people that followed Jesus when he was on earth. They saw him as a potential Messiah that, as far as they were concerned, could become an earthly king and could remedy all of their problems, especially their physical needs. Whether it be physical illness or whether it be want, whether it be famine, whether it be poverty or whatever it was, this Messiah could fill our bellies and fill our hearts and give us what we're looking for right now. But Jesus had to inform these rabid followers who were looking for bread and fish religion that he wanted them to seek the meat that endures to eternal life. And when they were running after more miracles, and when they were running after more food, and I promise you today, we've got a religion that tells you that God is a cheap remedy to all that ails you. He's a big glorified band-aid. Apply where needed. If you hurt, he'll heal the hurt. But he never does until you come to know him as the living, sovereign, mighty God that he really is. He's no cheap remedy to all your aches and pains. He's not a big bottle of medicine, and he's not some instrument or tool that you take and use for your own personal edification. He is God. And until you come to know him as God, you don't know him. All you know is religion. All you know is a cheap, subtle substitute that Satan offers, which keeps you from knowing the sovereign, mighty God who can indeed fill your life with meaning, purpose, and direction. I hope you're not tonight caught up in some sort of a religion that is keeping you from the Redeemer, because He is the answer to every need. When He thought of men's hungering hearts, He said, I am the bread of life, and He is. When He thought of their thirsting souls, He said, I am the water of life. When He thought of them groping in darkness, He said, I am the light of the world. When He thought of their need for shelter, He said, I am the door. My friend, Jesus Christ is the answer. When He thought of men looking for the right direction, He said, I'm the way. When He thought of their desire for knowledge, He said, I'm the truth. When He thought of the desire of man to live, He said, I am the light. But understand this. He said, if you want to find life, you must lose your life for my sake. Because if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And what are you profited if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So be very honest with me. How many of you ever lost your life for Jesus' sake? Not church's sake. Not for religion's sake. For Jesus' sake. There is a difference. You see, He's a personal Savior. And you must know Him personally. And boy, we've got so many people that don't know Him. They don't know His voice. That's why people can come preaching and it's like Paul said, they're tossed about to and fro. They're unstable. They're double-minded, James called them. And they're blown about by every wind and doctrine, Paul said. They don't know the truth when they hear it. And boy, they're caught up in religious circles, but they don't know the truth. But you see, when the truth is in you, when you know Jesus, then you can distinguish the sounds. And you know truth. And I tell you, people flock to the truth if they know the truth. They recognize it. They follow it. What did Jesus say? He put it this way. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. Another will they not follow. They follow me. They know me. I know the sheep. The sheep know me. And my friend, the whole thing boils down to whether or not you know and follow Jesus. Now, I don't know whether you know Him or not, but He knows. I hope you know Him. Some of you say, well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a Baptist myself. Isn't that wonderful? Some of the meanest people I've ever met are Baptists. And I promise you, some of the biggest crooks in the United States of America are Baptists. Some of them might even be Baptist preachers. You say, some of them are evangelists, too. That's right. I mean, some of the most royal religious ripoffs in the country are evangelists and preachers. It's the truth. So I don't want to know tonight, are you a Baptist? Because man, we took a survey over in Texas at our penitentiary, Huntsville Penitentiary, and 72% of the inmates were Baptists. So don't answer, I'm a Baptist. Some of you say, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. Being a Baptist doesn't make you a Christian either. Being a Baptist preacher doesn't make you a Christian or any other kind of preacher. Jesus makes you a Christian. Not being a Baptist or a Methodist. We had a boy up in the crowd that got concerned about his friend, turned to his buddy one night that was sitting by him and he said, would you like to be a Christian? And the boy turned and said, I'm a Methodist. And the Baptist boy said, well, why are you a Methodist? He said, well, my mother and daddy were Methodists, and my grandmother and my grandfather were Methodists, and I come from a long line of Methodists, so I'm a Methodist. So the very smart Baptist boy just looked at him and said, well, what would you have been if your mother and daddy and your grandmother and your grandfather had been donkeys? And the Methodist boy looked at him and said, I guess I'd have been a Baptist. Now, you can tell a joke on different denominations and groups, and you can make some of them very unhappy. There was a lady that lived in a community where they only had a Catholic church, only one there, so she went. And she loved God, and she knew Jesus. And she attended the Catholic church, and the time came in her life that she was to die. And the priest came by to pay her a visit. She's on death's bed. Boy, I mean, you know, the light's going out. And the priest walked in and said, lady, I'm so glad you attended our church. I only wish you'd become a Catholic. And you had joined the church because, he said, I could have prayed for you and forgiven your sins and you would go to heaven. And she looked at him and said, it's all right. You don't need to pray for me. My sins are forgiven and I am going to heaven. And the priest looked at him and said, but lady, don't you know that Peter holds the keys? Why, Peter's got the keys. She said, you tell him to keep the keys. I've got the door. Friend, Jesus is the door. He is the door. Not the priest, not the preacher, not the evangelist, not the church. The Christ, Jesus. He's the door. Now, I don't tell that story to put a Catholic down. Man, I love the Catholics, but I want you to know something. The only way any Catholic's going to get to heaven is through Jesus, the door. They're not going through the priest or through Peter or anybody else. They're going through Jesus. And I know a lot of Catholics have never met Jesus, just like I know a lot of Baptists have never met Jesus. And just because you've been christened or confirmed, and just because you are a member of a church, doesn't make you saved. Only Jesus can save you. I wonder how many of you here have ever met this Jesus that changes lives completely. Have you ever come to the narrow way? You know, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they're raging wolves." Do you know that Satan will almost always disguise his prophets in sheep's clothing? And they'll be so slick and so smooth and so sharp and so subtle that you say, "Boy, I like that." But they'll twist the truth. And you know, you only have to twist it a little bit, it's a lie. See, you can preach one truth as though it's the whole truth, and it becomes a lie. Let me give you an example. Now hear me. One example of taking a truth and preaching it as the whole truth and making it a lie is this. Have you ever heard the truth, God is love? Do you believe that? I mean, is God love? Is that a truth? Is that the whole truth? God is wrath. But you don't hear that. You say, "You mean God gets angry?" Yes, God gets angry. And he says, "My wrath is revealed from heaven." And I don't want to go into the details of how it's revealed from heaven. If God gives me the physical strength Thursday night, I want to preach to you on how you can see the wrath of God revealed. I'm going to talk to you about homosexuality and about sex perversion and drug addiction and alcoholism and why we have it and child abuse and mass murders. You see, God says, when you know me and you don't glorify me as God, I'm going to give you up. What am I going to give you up to? I'm going to give you up to wicked lifestyles in your country. That's the judgment of God. That's God's wrath. God says, "I'm sick of the way some of you live. You make me sick." So you preach that God is love. He's a good God. He's a great God. God's love. God's love. God's love. That's all you hear. That's what the mafia says. That's what every criminal says. That's what every murderer says. God's love. God's love. God, yes, he is. But God's also just and holy and righteous. You've got to be careful. There'll always be prophets in sheep's clothing that'll twist the truth. Paul called it perverting the gospel, twisting the gospel. He called it devil doctrines and seducing spirits. And we've got them today. You know what he said? He said, if anybody ever comes preaching to you any other gospel, this is in Galatians 1, other than the gospel which I preach, let him be accursed. If someone comes distorting, there are those today that make light of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for your sins. They call that a bloody old religion, and they don't want to hear about it. But you're blood-bought, friend. And I promise you, every American here tonight's blood bought. Your liberty was blood bought. Every time the flag unfurls in a football stadium at an athletic contest, every red stripe should remind you of blood that was spilled on a battlefield to buy you liberty. Somebody died for you. And I'll guarantee you, the sons and daughters that died on bloody foreign battlefields fighting for your liberty, they were not fighting for the liberty of a bunch of people to parade all over America against our government and in the name of homosexuality and godlessness. They didn't die for that kind of liberty. God help us and God forgive us. Every one of us. Every one of us a blood bought. And we're not to make light of the blood of the Lamb. We're not to make light of any biblical doctrine. The Bible is the Word of God, and there are those today who cast doubt on the Word of God. And I don't care who they are. I don't care if they rise to the highest, most prominent positions on this earth. God in heaven inspired this book. It's God's Word. Stand for it, and don't let anybody cast doubt on the Word of an eternal God. But there are those that do it. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. You're going to know them by the fruit of their life. Then I want you to notice what he has to say to those who listen to these preachers and who have religion. This is not me speaking. This is what Jesus says. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, referring to the last day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name we cast out devils? And we did many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I didn't know you. Does Jesus know you? Some of you say, I know him. That's not the question. Does he know you? Tell you what you do. You read the last three verses in the second chapter of John, and you'll find these words. Many of them believed when they saw the miracles that he did. They believed when they saw the miracles. But you're not to worship miracles. You're to worship the miracle worker, the master. You call me master and Lord, he said. And well, you say, for so I am. I am master. I am Lord. And he said, if you're not willing to forsake all and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Any man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. They believed when they saw the miracles that he did. But it says in the next verse, but he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Friend, he knows your heart. A lot of you like spectacular things. We're living in a miracle age. I'll guarantee you a man can come to any city on the East Coast and announce he's going to have a healing campaign, and he'll pack that building to the rafters. But you can go in that same town and say we're going to have a meeting to preach the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ and the salvation of God, and you'll have an empty building. Brother, we love the flesh. And when we hurt physically, that's what we think about. And we don't seem to understand that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth to redeem men's souls. The Bible says he came seeking to save that which is lost. Why don't we get caught up in what he's caught up in? Brother, because we're still bread and fish worshipers. We're still miracle worshipers. I believe in a miracle working God. Mayo Clinic sent my mother home to die. Mayo Clinic said 90% of your bone is infested with cancer. You cannot live, lady. All we can do is give you pain medicine. I want you to know a great eternal God healed my mother of bone cancer. And my mother's 75 years old. And she is a beautiful, lovely lady. God healed her. I got a lovely, fantastic call from a man today who told us how after we left Shelby, and if God wills it, I'm going to have him give his testimony before this week's out. Boy, I tell you, it blessed my soul. We had a man over there that God just gave him the faith to believe God while we were there. He's a member of the Second Baptist Church. He had a little girl. The doctors told him a few weeks after we had left that the little girl was going to die. She couldn't hold her head up. She couldn't turn over. She's dying. He said they told him extensive brain disease and damage. No hope for her. Went and shared with his interim pastor what was going on, and the pastor said, get about four of the men you love and believe in that love God, and let's just pray for this little girl. And they met and prayed for her and asked God to heal her. And God miraculously, I mean literally, healed that little girl. And she's healthy and beautiful and walking right now. The doctors don't understand it yet. I believe in a God that heals people. Why, before I preached at the Southern Baptist Pastors Conference to 18,000 people Monday night a week ago, a lady got up who was a pastor's wife that I'd already had on my television program 3 or 4 years ago. And while she was at Tennessee Temple Schools over in Chattanooga, conservative fundamental school, while she was there, the only blind girl to ever go through school. Shortly after she left, she and her husband were praying by the bed, and God gave her her sight back, and she can see. And the incredible thing is, the doctors examine her eyes and say, there's no picture on the retina of your eye. You cannot see. Your eyes are blind. She sees with blind eyes. I believe in a God that heals people. Don't make light of that, my friend. But listen to me. There's something wrong with people who are so caught up in the miracles that they totally miss the Master. Jesus Christ is the only hope. We've got people running everywhere today looking for another miracle, saying, Lord, look at all these works we did. But he said, I didn't know you. Does he know you? Has he committed himself to you? You know, down in Texas, we have a lot of things we like to talk about. Somebody said if you knock all the air out of a Texan, all you've got is a pair of boots and a hat. We Texans are happy about some things we've got down in Texas. And one of the things we're pretty happy about right now is the Dallas Cowboys. Now, man, we like the Cowboys. And we don't like them just because Tom Landry's a Christian. We like them because they play football pretty well. Boy, I'll tell you, Dallas is a kind of a funny town, you know. You drive around there and you see all these cowboy bumper stickers on people's cars. You know, cowboy Super Bowl champions, number one. They got the little pennants flying. Man, you can go up to people in Dallas and you can ask them, you know, anytime you say, are you a cowboy? They say, man, I'm a cowboy. Yes, sir, I'm a cowboy. Man alive, they say, you ever go to the game? No, I never go to the game. Boy, I listen to them on the radio. I'm a cowboy. But they're not a cowboy. They're a cowboy fan. I mean, some of them take it dead serious, man. They get bumper stickers all over the car. Cowboys. Man, you ask some of them, they get so serious. Man, when the Cowboys come on TV, man, they get their popcorn and their peanuts and their Coca-Colas and their Budweisers, and they sit down in front of that TV. Come on, man, I'm a cowboy. Watching that TV, cheering. They're not cowboys. They're cowboy fans. You can watch some of them, man, they get so fired up, man, they grab the family, they grab the kids, they grab their binoculars, and they drag their kids up there with their $10 tickets in their pocket, and they climb up in those bleachers, and they sit down in there, and they burn up, and go, oh, go, I'm a cowboy. But they're not cowboys. They're cowboy fans. A man in Dallas, we do it upright. If you'll look around the cowboy game, you'll even see these sweet little things come out there in their cowboy boots. And bless God, that's about all they got on. But here they come in their cowboy boots. Man, I mean, they just strutting out on the field. Man, we cowboys! No, they're not cowboys. They're cowboy cheerleaders. Cheering on the cowboys. But they're not cowboys. If you look real close, somebody says cowgirls. Yeah, but they still ain't cowboys. Don't you mess up my story. I guarantee you, I don't have any trouble telling the difference. They ain't cowboys. But if you look real close, man, you'll see one of these dudes come out on the field. Boy, he'll have a gray helmet. Got a star on it. Big shoulders. Streamlined from the waist down. And that dude will get down and look across the line at you and say, rawr. Boy, when that ball goes, hut, they come unglued. That's a cowboy. He's in the game. I want you to know in Christianity today, we got more fans than you can shake a stick at. But I'll guarantee you, I'm saying so. I guarantee you, they sit in front of the TV set. Boy, they run all over the place. They got bumper stickers on their car, lapel pins on their shirt. But all they are is fans. Because Jesus does not know them. If you've ever been to an athletic contest, I can remember so distinctly seeing this happen last year when Arkansas was on its way to the finals or in basketball or close to it. And they had a black boy that played for them that loves Jesus. Matter of fact, Sports Illustrated wrote him up how much he loved God. Sidney Moncrief. Man, he loved God. I watched him annihilate Texas Christian University. And I'm no Arkansas fan, but because I'm a Texas fan, but I forgive Arkansas. But anyway, I watched them. Boy, they were fine. After that ball game was over, those Arkansas fans piled down there on the court. And man, they began to grab at those athletes, those stars. And if you watched them on television after a championship game, you can watch the great athletes, Lew Alcindor, Elvin Hayes, some of the great ball players. As they leave the court, they begin to push their way through the crowd. You'll watch people grabbing at them, reaching out and grabbing at them. And you'll watch them keep going like this. And everybody knows them. They say, I know you. And I watched Sidney that night as he left the arena. And they were grabbing at him. And Sidney just pushed his way through. And they all said, we know you, Sidney. Way to go. But he never looked at him. But you see, one of my friends, one of my team members' son, went to school with him, played football there, and loved God. And he and Sidney were buddies. He was in Fort Worth to watch him play that night, and they hadn't seen each other in a while. And Sidney's going toward the exit. And all of a sudden, David came from the right to reach out to Sidney. And I saw Sidney turn like that. And he looked, and he stopped, and he pushed his way through the crowd, and he grabbed David. And they embraced each other for a moment and looked at each other. How you doing, man? Hey, everybody knew Sidney. But Sidney didn't know everybody. But he knew David. And he stopped. You see, one day a lady pushed her way through a crowd, and she touched him. And he turned, he looked at the crowd like he'd look at this crowd tonight, and said, which one of you touched me? He said, we all are, Lord. No, you're not. But one did. Where are you? And she fell down trembling and said, Lord, I did it. I touched you, Lord, I believe. You see, he knows it because he knew her. See, it doesn't matter if you know about him tonight. Does he know you? That's all that matters. Is he personal to you? Is he real to you? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, but Lord, look what we did for you. But I never knew you. Does he know you? I knew all about him. I knew enough I joined a church, but I didn't know him. Then one night I had to come and say I didn't know him. I won't ever forget the night, 115 or 16 degrees in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, out under a tin shed in the rodeo arena, when a youth group, kind of like Truth, we're going to have a group kind of like them be here Thursday night to sing during the song service. We had an outstanding youth group called the New Hope Singers, and they had a fine pianist, young man that I just liked the way he acted. That night they sang for us and I preached. They were the singers that night. And he was the pianist. And he was the assistant song leader for them. I gave the invitation that night, and the young man that was playing the piano had to get up and leave the piano and come and give his life to Jesus, because he said, I knew what I was, and God knew what I was. I was a phony. But that night he came to Jesus. That boy's name's Rick Jackson. John introduced him to you a while ago. He's our pianist. Organist, whatever we need. He can do it all. But you see, he had to leave, man. It was tough. And then I remember back in March, Easter Sunday night, or Monday night after Easter, 5,000 people in Owensboro, Kentucky. Reba Ware playing the piano so beautifully, like she always does, like she'd been doing since she was 9 at the church. Wonderful lady. Been working with me for years and heard me preach. I don't know how many sermons. But man, I knew something was wrong. We had already met privately that night before the service and prayed for her by name. One of our own team members. Something's wrong. We don't understand it, but something's not right. God was moving so mightily in our team, but she couldn't get on track. She wasn't bad. There was just something not there that you could detect when the Spirit of God was moving. She couldn't seem to be on the wavelength. Everything was distant to her. We prayed for her. And that night, during the invitation, I was so disturbed. And for some reason, I didn't even want her to play the piano. She was the only one playing, no choir. People were getting saved. And I just turned and looked at Reba. And I said, stop playing. And she stopped. But she didn't understand that I meant stop playing the piano. She said it was like the voice of Almighty God saying, Reba, quit playing. Quit playing. Quit pretending. Right there on that piano bench, Reba Ware got saved, our crusade pianist. What a beautiful talent God's given her. You know what happened that night going home when she told us about it on the plane? Man, we were so happy. I looked at Reba and I gave her a verse of Scripture. I said, read this, Reba. And she started reading it and her tears fell from her cheeks and splattered on the Bible. And she said, I've read that 100 times, but it never said anything to me before. But it does now. What a difference. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many of us will say, Lord, we played many beautiful concerts in your name. We sang many solos and choir numbers, many specials. And Lord, we did many wonderful things. But he said, I'm going to say to you, I never knew you. I'll be honest with you tonight. Friend, I can stand here and tell you, I know that he knows me. And I know him. I'm positive. I'm positive. Yes, sir, I'm so sure I'm willing to walk out of here and die tonight. And never wonder one moment where I'm going, and there's no need for you to wonder because I know exactly where I'm going. I know whom I believed. I know who I believed. And he knows me. And brother, if he's in your heart, you know it. And if he's there, you know how easy it is for folks to think they know him and not know him. And it scares you. Because Satan's given us so many substitutes. Does he know you? If you walk out of here and die tonight, will you go to heaven? I walked out of here with a girl last night that had just buried her daddy the day before. Said, I don't believe my daddy knew the Lord. Broke her heart. What if you die? Do you know? Does he know you? Do you know him? I want us to bow our heads. Close your eyes, if you would. Nobody looking anywhere. Would you be honest with me, please? If I walked up to you and looked in your eyes right now and I asked you, does Jesus know you? Personally? Does God know you? Is he your father? Is he personal? Is he real? Is Jesus Christ living in you? Do you know it? If you die tonight, do you know you're going to go to heaven? Do you know that? You can say to me tonight, James, I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven my sins and he saved me and he's real to me. And if I die tonight, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm positive I'm saved. Jesus is living in my heart and he knows me. He knows I've touched him in faith and he changed my life. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I'm positive. I'm so positive that if I knew I was going to die, I could just still tell you, I'm sure. I know it. Jesus is real to me. He's living in my heart. I'm on the narrow road. I've been through the straight gate. I've been through the door. And I know it, if you know that. And I beg you not to exaggerate or be dishonest. But if you know it, would you put your hand up where I could see it, please? Just put it up where I can see it. I know it. I know it. Don't put it up if you don't know. I beg you not to. I beg you not to. All right, put them down. How many of you that could not raise your hand would be honest enough to say, James, and you may be a church member. Goodness, my wife was. I was. Billy Graham was. Reba Ware, my pianist, and Rick Jackson, my other musician, they were. I don't want to know about that. All I want to know is how many of you would say, James, I don't know that Jesus has ever really come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I don't know that I ever really trusted him and that he's real to me. I couldn't put my hand up a while ago and tell you that I know I've given my life to Jesus because I don't know. I could not lift my hand a moment ago because I don't really know that God is my Father. I don't know that I'll go to heaven if I die tonight. I can't say that Jesus has really changed my life. And I want you to pray for me, please. I could not put my hand up a moment ago, but I'd like to lift it now and just ask you to please pray for me. No one else is looking. Would you slip your hand up where I can see it real high and just hold it up all over the stadium, real high.
God bless you. Keep them up just a moment. Real high. I don't really know if I'm on the narrow road. I don't really know that Jesus has changed me. Please hold your hand up real high. God bless you. Keep them up just a moment. Real high. Real high. Many hands. Thank you so much. You may lower them. How many of you in the choir would say, James, pray for me. I don't really know if I've given my life to Jesus. Hold it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Over here on the sides, on the field, in the folding chairs, would you say, James, I don't really know if Jesus has changed my life. Would you be honest about it? Would you slip your hand up where I could see it and say, pray for me too? God bless you, men and ladies, dads, mothers, teenagers. Over here on my left, back here, yes. Dear Jesus, I want you to save all of these people you died for. I know you love them. I believe they know you love them. And I believe tonight they've seen the foolishness of religion without you, of pretending to be what they're not. Oh, God, tonight in Jesus' name, I want you to bring them to salvation. Not a cheap decision, but a meaningful, life-changing commitment. May they come tonight to give their life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Give them the courage to get up out of their seat right now and say, I want to get on that narrow road. I want to go through that straight gate. I want to go through the door. I want Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. I want Him now, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I need Him. Would you help them to get up and come? In Jesus' name I pray, our heads are bowed. I want to ask every man, many of you down here on the field already,